The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You know, the month of March will be characterized by miracles. Miracles will characterize the month of March. The whole month of March will be for miracles. It will be for miracles. It will be for miracles. 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 Miracles of healing. Miracles of provision, miracles of deliverance, miracles of supply, miracles of recoveries, miracles of upliftment. There shall be miracles. There shall be miracles. Woo. There shall be miracles. Says the Spirit of the Lord. But then, February has not ended, so some more good news are coming your way, Lucy. This week, before this year, this month comes to an end, you have some more good news. Some more good news. You know, the Lord said I should say to someone that has struggled financially this month, by 28th of February, you are ending this month richer than you started it. And everything that should make that supply happen, I bring it across your way in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you started this month on a high note financially, but right now it looks like things are going down. By 28, you will see that there is much more supply, better than where you started, better than where you started. More opportunities are now in your hands than it was on first February. More opportunities. When I see someone standing before a number of doors, and all of them are opening of their own accord to you, they are opening of their own accord to you. Much more opportunities in the name of Jesus. Opportunities for you in the name of Jesus. The keys are yours. You have the key. The things that came across your path this year or this month to squander your money. Some of it was your health. Some of it was just unnecessary challenges that came up. They are coming to an end from this meeting now. From this meeting. I heard the Lord say, reap the harvest in the name of Jesus. And so don't compare yourself with anybody getting blessed or getting miracles. Be happy for them and rejoice for them. For yours is just around the corner. And the harvest is close. Very close. Very close. Very close. And it's here now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You will see God's goodness. You will experience God's goodness. You will taste God's goodness. You will live in God's goodness. Hallelujah. And that's about you. And you. And you too. And you too, and you too, and you too, and you too, and you following online is for you too, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have a march of miracles. March of miracles. March of miracles. And the Lord said, there will be miracles by you and for you. You will work miracles, and it will happen for you too. By you and for you. through you and for you. The month of March is characterized with those miracles. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. The plans will begin to come together. You thought of suspending them because the first 2 months did not work. They will begin to come together. And they will happen faster than you think, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Lift your hands. Let's bless Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Every year, there's always a season in this church where the Lord speaks to us about miracles every year. And March is that season. It will begin to happen. We will recount miracles. Miracles. Food multiplied. Miracles. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the last Thursday in the month of February. Are you excited about that? Hallelujah. You know, the month or the year is running already. Amen. And I hope you've started going far and making progress in actualizing your dreams and your visions. Amen. Glory to God. So today I will conclude on the living word. Have you been blessed by all those teachings? February has been amazing. Amen. The living word. The living word. So we've covered a lot of grounds, which I will not attempt to touch again because we have some more work, just something short to do today. I'm going to charge you with the final instruction from that series. You see, the word of God has the capacity to change a man. And I can tell you, nothing changes men like God's word. Nothing changes people like the word of God. And I'm not just saying these things because I'm a pastor or because I read it in the Bible. I'm saying it because it's something I have seen happen to people. I've seen people move from one state to another. And I'm talking about in every area of their life. You see someone that was once a spiritual baby who never cared about God. And then he begins to expose himself to the word of God. And suddenly, you see, I know there is something about spiritual changes. When it occurs in the spirit, it happens in the physical. It just kind of transforms the person's life. The person now begins to think differently. The person begins to understand things differently. Do you understand the point? He begins to see things from a different light, from a different perspective. Sometimes it even changes his dress code. Hallelujah. He changes everything, changes his thought pattern. Even the guy that was once lazy suddenly becomes very diligent. God's word can change someone from inside out. Hallelujah. Someone that once had an appetite for sin suddenly just loses the appetite. Someone that never cared about doing good suddenly begins to care about doing good. You see someone that used to make a certain mistake or do something and just walks out of the room like he didn't do anything. He makes that same mistake again. He's so troubled. Something is happening within him. A change is occurring on the inside. I get to the point. His priorities are getting changed. God's word is that powerful. And I'm going to challenge you to take everything we've shared in this series very seriously. So I'll start talking about the living word summarily today. You know, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. You know, one of the things I established the first day of this teaching is that when we talk about the word of God, we are not just talking about everything. I explained to you that when you hear the word of God, it's not talking about everything you see in the Bible. You remember that? It's not talking about everything. It's talking about something definite. It's talking about the gospel of our salvation. Remember that? It's talking about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the truth about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And that is the gospel. And so when we say the word changes people, you need to know what that word is. Peter, the book of, I think 1 Peter will tell us that we are born of the word of God. I think that's 1 Peter chapter 1, if I'm not mistaken, verse 22, 23, 24, 25. It tells us of how we are born by the word. And how that word of God, go to verse 23, how that word of God, you see, does not change. Verse 23, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. So it is this same living word that produced you. You get the point? It is this same, how are you born in the spirit? You are born by the word of God. And it tells us that word of God is incorruptible.
it lives and abideth forever. Let me just talk about this. It says, that word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And that's how you are produced. Now see verse 25. It lives and abides forever. He said, 24 rather, he said, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is okay, as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth off. He said, but the word of God endureth what? Endureth what? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Don't talk about the word of God. I'm talking about anything. The word is specific. The word of God. So the word that produced you is the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. It's not everything. And so the word that changes people is the gospel. That's why one of the warnings I'm going to start sounding this evening to you is that you must pay attention to what you listen to and to who you listen to. You see, because it is not everything that can change people. It's not every word. It's not even everything that says Jesus is Lord that can change people. It's not everything. You know, the Bible tells us to test every spirit. It's not just everybody shouting Jesus that preaches the gospel. You know, there are different categories of people here. There are people that are unbelievers, totally false teachers. Okay? Some of them, there are different categories among them. Some of them are not born again at all. They're not even saved in the first place. They're carrying Bible as pastors, but they're not even saved. I don't know if you know that. You know, right? There are people like that. Now, there is another category among them who are saved. Okay? They are saved. They are born again, but they don't know the truth. They don't know it because they are still growing. There's a third category of people who actually know it, but they decide to stay in error. Who is following me? The first category who are not born again at all, you stay away from them. They're not even one of us. The second category who are still growing and are making progress, they don't know everything. You see, you be patient with them and grow with them. Are you getting the point? You be patient. Doesn't mean you expose yourself to everything they teach, but be patient. The third category of people who actually know the word, but they don't care that they don't care about saying what is right. Well, they know that this is how it should be, but possibly because of gain, because they want to get money or whatever, they decide to, those people, Bible say, run away from them. Are you getting me? You run away from them. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, where I just mentioned now, Paul will tell them, I marvel that you are so soon removed from he that called you into the grace of Christ. He didn't say they were removed from the grace of Christ. He said they were removed from him that called them to the grace of Christ. Are you following me? So he wasn't talking about, they were not removed from the gospel. They were removed from the man that taught them the gospel. And he was talking about himself. Please pay attention. It's like I say the things like this. He says, you are removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Into the grace of Christ. There is a man that called you unto another gospel. Now see verse 7. He said, which is not another. Verse 7 tells us that actually when he says talks about another gospel in verse 6, there is actually no any other gospel. The gospel is one. People say, well, that is God. You preach gospel of grace. I preach gospel of holiness. No. It is the gospel. It's the gospel that Peter preached, that Paul preached, that Jesus stood for. Are you getting the point? He said, which is not another. He said, but look at this. But there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. So the whole issue they had in the Galatian church was that Paul preached something to them. Some others came and began to trouble them. What kind of trouble were they giving them? They were perverting the gospel of Christ. So they came and began to teach them something else, different or correct to what Paul taught them, which was the grace of Christ. Who's following me? Who's following? So they began to teach them something else. He said, there are some that trouble you. So the reason, what I'm trying to tell you is that everything in Galatians chapter 1, 6 and 7 is talking about he's talking about personalities. These guys were removed from the grace of Christ because they were removed from the man that called them to that grace. So they stopped listening to Paul. They stopped following Paul. They began to follow this other man Paul calls some that trouble you. Do you follow to this point? Yeah. And what were these guys doing? They were perverting the gospel of Christ. They were mixing, if you read the book of Galatians, you learn. They were mixing works with grace. They were saying, well, even though you are saved, you still have to do this and do that to fully now be saved. They were mixing things up. They were mixing works and grace. They were preaching the law. At the time, they began to tell them that if you are not circumcised, you are not even a child of God. Even though you are born again, if you are not circumcised, you are going to hell. They were going to mess things up for them. Paul said, there be some that trouble you, and they are perverting the gospel of Christ. Now, he comes out very strong in verse 8. He comes out very strong and a bit angry. He said, but though we, so he implicates himself in what he's about to say, but though we or an angel, even from heaven. You know, there are two types of angels. There are angels, there are three types. There are angels from hell, there are angels from heaven. And there are angels that, you know, they say, my angel. He said, even though we are an angel, the one from heaven, if they preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What it means is that if anybody is preaching to you, be checking with what Paul preached. He said, if it's not in accordance with what Paul preached, you say, why Paul? Well, because the word of God agrees. If you check 2 Peter, you will find Peter commending Paul's message. He said, even as our brother Paul, I think that's 2 Peter chapter 3, 15, 16, 17, 18. He said, even as our brother Paul wrote in all his epistles. See, it tells you that Peter actually took time to study Paul's epistles. Look at it. Look at verse. Come on. Go to verse 15. Look. It says, and accounts that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. So, even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, I've written unto you. So, what was Paul's teaching? That the long suffering of our God is salvation. So, it was Peter referencing Paul. I get the point. So, you can imagine why Paul was bold enough to say, if anybody preaches anything that is not me that preached, that is not according to what I preach, to let him be accursed. Because the gospel is not true. Are you following me? You need to understand this. When two preachers are saying two different things, they are not both correct. One is wrong, one is right. Or both of them are wrong. The gospel is definite. Hallelujah. And so, Paul says, let him be accursed. Now, he said, so what does that mean? Does it mean if I say anybody preaching what Paul did not preach, I should say, I curse you in Jesus' name? No. The word accursed is, of course, I've explained that from the Greek word anathema. Anathema. It means when you find someone preaching that kind of thing, he said, distance yourself from him. Remove yourself from him. Treat him as a curse. What it means is don't listen or give ear to what he's saying. Because it's not every word that changes everybody. Are you getting me? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is not everything that is the power of God unto salvation. The only thing that is the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. If it's not the gospel, it cannot change anybody. So in verse 8 of Galatians 1, it says, even though we are an angel, preach on that thing that is not what we preached. Hallelujah. Now, let him be accursed. Now, verse 9, he felt maybe they didn't understand what he was saying in verse 8. He said, and as we said before, so say I now, again. So I said before, I'm going to repeat it again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that we have received, let him be accursed. In other words, you don't find yourself exposing yourself to anything. You separate yourself because actually, you see, who you listen to changes everything. One major way the word of God is communicated is through teaching. It is one major way. It is one major way. In fact, I won't say it's the major way, but it's the majorest way. Yeah, thank you. You get, like I can write that to your exam, you fail. What I mean is, there are other good ways, but this is where it starts from. Because actually, why teaching is important. Do you know, if I ask you to open your Bible and study, the chances are that the things you will see in the Bible are the things I'm saying. Because you're listening to me. Teaching is important and it's powerful. That's why you see somebody, if you attend a church, where the only thing they teach is, for instance, if you sin, you go to hell. Sin will condemn you. Sin will do this one for you. Even though you believe that you go to hell. If I ask you to study your Bible, you'll be seeing those things. If you attend a church where they're always doing, die by fire. Everybody pushing me. If you open the Bible, you'll be seeing it. If I attend a church where they're always talking about dimensions, that's why every verse will be dimensional to you. Because, why is it so? I've explained that a couple of times. If I give you a blue lens, you know, like eyeglass, this type of blessing is very, right? Now, joy also. So if it is blue, everyone, some that has that's a blue lens, maybe a red lens, if you look into this wall, every year will be blue to you. Are you following me? If it is red and you look, everywhere will be red to you. For you to see clearly, you either have to remove that lens or change it. Are you following me? Now, that is how teaching is. It is teaching that, teaching is what gives you a lens with which you look into God's word. So, what if you keep listening to me, and I'm a false teacher, if you open the Bible, you will see what you want to see, and how you want to see it. Some people meet me all the time, and they ask me things like, so how do you study your Bible? How, you know, I love how you teach. I say, the secret is this. If you listen to a good teacher long enough, you begin to see what he sees in the Bible. Are you following me? That's why teaching is important. Some of you will meet, you notice when you met us, I'll just take you through 5 chapters of the Bible. I just teach you for 1 hour. You now open the Bible. The first thing you're saying is, where have all these things been? Sometimes you even finish the Bible before that time, but you didn't see it. What happened? We just exchanged the lens you were wearing before. You announce it, say, wow, wow. You get the point. Teaching is important. So, Paul says, so if you begin to expose yourself to wrong teachings, begin to listen to the wrong people, people that will not teach you the truth of the gospel, you will be seeing what you want to see. Teaching is very important. It is the one, it's one of the major ways through which God's word is communicated. Hallelujah. And that's why, because of how important teaching is, we emphasize that you should pay attention to listening to God's word. Listening to God's word a lot. You see, you read it. I've explained reading, right? I've taught on reading. I've taught on, in this series, reading, studying, meditating. But you must listen to it a lot. In church, out of church, take advantage of technology. Use your laptop, your AirPod, whatever. Use everything. And always listen to God's word. Because it is one of the major ways that even when you now open the Bible to study, you begin to understand. So listening to God's word is one major way. Do you know the kind of culture? That's why in this church, if you used to come here expecting that I'm going to preach for 30 minutes, you're always coming to the wrong place. The kind of culture we find in Jesus is not the type that preached God's word for 5 minutes. Jesus will gather people and teach them for 3 days. Can't read the Bible. 3 whole days. Morning, afternoon, night. You see, by the time he was done teaching them. Amen? And I had a story about Islam. When Muhammad wanted to establish Islam, one of the things he did was, to all the families that have believed, he went to those families and took, some of you have heard this story, took the best kids from each of those families, the smartest. Some of them were 3, 4, 5. He took them and took them in and began to teach them Quran. One of the things he did, he made all of them scram Quran from beginning to end. Do you understand? I was teaching them that in morning, afternoon, night. Morning, afternoon, night. Morning until some of them got to, I think you released some of them at 20, 25. By then they were coming out. They were wearing Islam. To shift that person from that thing he believes, you need deliverance. You understand the point? It doesn't matter whether it's true or false. It's the power of indoctrination. And it happens by teaching. You see, that's why some of the things you hear, say, it's not working. Stay on God's word. If you listen to it long enough, it will form. You know, let me take this. You know, I was telling some people in the house, if you are always coming here, I like you. And I thank you. Do you know why? Coming always to listen to a man is a very important thing. You see, listening to me every Thursday and Sunday here, I'm shaping your ideology so I know it or not. Hope you know. You will be seeing things like me. That's why who you listen to as a pastor makes all the difference. Not just spiritually. It will shape your idea of life. Anybody you listen to every day, it will change how you see life. If you listen to a man that is a mediocre, it will not be long. You begin to see life that same way. He doesn't have to say it. Who is following me? If you listen to a man that is violent, it will not be long. You begin to do things violently. Because when people are talking to you, they are not just teaching you what they're saying. They are sharing their life with you. Do you understand? It will not be long. You know, when the disciples of Jesus, when Jesus left, when how did they call them Christians? They said, these guys are behaving exactly like Jesus. They are Christians. It was clear. The things he had been telling them over the past 3.5 years, when he died, they began to live like that. They don't plan it. One of the strongest tools of indoctrination is teaching. Teaching. And one of the greatest ways to get yourself indoctrinated into God's word is by listening. If you can listen to God's word every day, for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, it will shape everything about it to change. That's why you must back. You must be careful. I don't know why God is taking me back to that. With who you listen to. Listen to me, friends. Everybody is not your pastor. And everybody cannot be your pastor. And you must have only one pastor. Now, I'm not saying you cannot listen to every other person. Okay? The way I normally say it is, I listen to my pastor. And any other person he recommends. You can listen to other people. But you see, by the time you listen to other people, you should have a pastor. Such that what every other person is saying, by attention, will be confirmed by looking at your pastor's message. You don't use your pastor's message, or you don't use their message to text your pastor's message. You understand? It is better, now it's not good, but I'm just saying, it's better you are in error, but you are following one man that is in error, than that you are following 30 people, some are correct, some are wrong. You are a madman. A madman is the man that has many voices speaking in his head at the same time. Think about it. He belongs to everyone and belongs to no man. Like one president we know. And so you find out that something is just wrong with the country. Sorry, with you, with glory to God. You must know what you stand for. And one of the ways we can know what you stand for is by who you listen to. Who you pay attention to. There are some people that are, I don't know why God is leading me this direction. You know, I see their playlist and I can tell you this person is not serious. I can tell you he doesn't know anything. Sometimes people tell me, sir, I like your teaching. I've been following for a very long time. And I now hear another person, they also like his or her teaching. I know they don't like my teaching. Or they do, but they don't know it. You understand me? You can't follow me long enough and know what I stand, and not know what I stand for. You know what I stand for. In every area of life. In fact, if you follow me long enough, it's not just about me, anybody. You follow me long enough, a situation can arise. You can tell what I will answer. Amen? You can even tell what I will say and how I will act. You can tell when I will not say anything. Glory to God. Not that some people don't like coming to see me. They say, you go see pastor. You know what you will say. Let's just... So let's just do it. We already know what he's going to answer. And it's actually true. That's why you see who you follow. People think that how to choose a church family is just, what church is close to my house? You are exposing, you're endangering your destiny. What church is close to my house? You just walk in there. And you expose yourself to a man Sunday, Wednesday, sometimes Saturday, Sunday, Wednesday. He's changing your thought pattern. He's changing your ideologies. He's changing how you see life. Don't you know that there are many churches in this country that, have you noticed that there are church, that people that when they act, you can almost predict their church. Amen? When they talk, you can predict their church. Somebody came across one of our church people praying. And the guy has been to church a couple of times. But he's not a member. If I went up to the girl and said, are you from Platform of Grace? He said, yes. He said, how did you know? He said, you pray like them. So, and I began to wonder, how do we pray? He said, and he was very correct. He said, you pray like them. He said, in what way? He said, I don't know. I just knew. I said, that's what of knowledge. You know, that's the power of this, of exposing yourself to. That's why you don't listen to anything, anyone, and anybody. You don't. So Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. How were you removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel? So you listen to God's word a lot and a lot. And I want to say one or two things about listening. You see, when you listen to God's word, I've talked about committing yourself to it, and I've also talked about receiving it with joy. In Matthew chapter 13 verse 20, because some of you wonder, why do they shout a lot in this church? This is the reason. In Matthew 13 and verse 20, glory to God. It says, he that received the seed into stony place, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. So how do you receive the word of God? With what? With joy. With joy. In Psalm 119 verse 162, the word of God must be received with joy, with excitement. That's how it's going to benefit you. He says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The word of God is great spoil. It's a great treasure. So when you hear it, you receive it with joy. Yeah. The same way you're going to shout if someone gives you a great, great treasure. What about a translation of this? If you know what it means. That same way you shout when you hear God's word. He said, I rejoice as the word. This one said, spoil. Listen to the translation. NLT said, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. Imagine one day you come to a land that you've always had and you find out that there is oil there or that there is gold there and that land belongs or there is diamond. How are you going to shout? How are you going to rejoice? That's how you rejoice at the word. Because the word of God is actually something more than gold. And it's true. It's more valuable than diamond. And that's why we're going to rejoice at it like that. It shows you actually know the power and the worth of it. So whenever you are teaching God's word, your feet must be ready to move. Your voice must be ready to shout. I get to the point. That's why you don't come to church and sitting around like someone that they beat. You come in excited at the word of God. Do you love the word of God? Sometimes, if it can be instruction, you rejoice. Correction. I get to the point. Admonition. It's just like God's word. If you keep listening to God's word, if you receive God's word well, it will change you with joy. With joy. So I love the word of God. So I love the word of God. Hallelujah. So you receive it with joy. Receive it with joy. And all that. I can say more and more about receiving God's word with joy. I've talked about receiving it with meekness. You know, the Bible tells us as dear children, desire the sincere meek of the word. Because that you may grow thereby. So you receive God's word with so much desire, so much enthusiasm, so much meekness. You see how message puts Psalm 119 verse 162. He said, I'm ecstatic over what you say, like one who strikes it rich. So whenever you hear God's word, you just struck it rich. Hallelujah. Whenever you hear God's word, you have blow. And if you know how you're going to shout when you blow, that's how you shout at God's word. And if you treat it like that, it will make you blow, actually. And that's the truth. That's the truth. I used to tell people, and I'm going to share this story much more later in life. The only thing I stepped out with in my calling with God, in my calling, was the word of God. You know, I hear people say things like, I started ministry with only 1,000. I laugh. I say, I started well. The only thing I had was God says the Lord. Nothing else. That's all I had in my future, in my present. See, but I was excited at it. And it wasn't the case. You know, before then, I already planned. I said, I'm going to make our church grow very fast. So I came up with different ideas. I sat on my drawing, but I came up with ideas how our church was going to grow. You know, I had many. It was not bad way. It's not like, not like bad things, but I knew what I had organized and planned, how we're going to organize this, dance, this. And I've read many books. So that day, some of you know the story. The morning I was to start church, I was just dressing up in my mirror and all that. I used to have a mirror then. And then the Holy Ghost said, echo this into my ear. He said, learn patience in ministry. So I heard that one, I heard it audibly. And I repeated it. And I began to talk to my spirit man. He said, just do it my way. That's all I had. So all the plans I had on, he told me that day, he said, if you go this way, you will raise a big church, but you will not raise a strong church. One of the things I'm grateful to God for this church is that we have strong men here. You understand? We're holding a crusade last 2 years at Obiago. Some of you are there. And then the first night it began to rain. It's not like rain. It began to really rain. Rain was raining. You understand? And I was still on my way. And it was already raining. You know, normally the normal thing is to start running. But I saw our people. You know, let me tell you something. If you want to produce men of strong conviction, take them to the word of God. If you want to gather a useless crowd, share food, share ice cream.
But it's true.
Share ice cream. If you distribute ice cream here this Sunday and next Sunday, there will be no room to accommodate people. You know, so you see, if you want to please everybody, don't be a preacher, just be selling ice cream. Once I sell ice cream, everybody will like you. Ice cream is good. For every moment. If you are sad, ice cream. If you are happy, ice cream. If Barca win, ice cream. When Barca win, ice cream. When they defeat Napoli, ice cream. So, it's good for all seasons. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And when Chelsea loses, ice cream. If Man is defeated, much more ice cream. It's always, but then, apart from that, that's what this Lord showed me. You keep doing this, you will gather a crowd. We said, are useless. That day was raining. I saw our people. People I didn't know that they had sense. No. This guy is under the rain praying. When I got there, even if that crusade did not hold that day, I felt like a very proud pastor. Yeah, I felt half. Because that's how I was raised. We pray under the rain, under the sun. You don't carry a jebo into ministry. God's word, you remove it. Do you understand the point? So that day the Lord spoke to me and said, if you do this kind of ministry you want to do, you are going to raise very weak believers. They will fool your church. They will like you. Because the plan I had is that the highest service we are going to have was an hour. So we take like 5 minutes to pray, opening prayer. Then we'll take and tell you my plan. 25 minutes to sing and dance. Then I use 20 minutes to teach. And you think of God's word that we taught in 20 minutes. It doesn't matter what they're passing through. God is there for you. He cares about you. You can just tell yourself, I know I can make it. Nothing is going to go wrong with me. If he said, if you do that, people are going to come. I studied in a student environment. You know people, you know students now. They're like, sharp. You go by 6, 7, you are back. You see, that's why tomorrow, challenges will hit the believer. You know, I keep using this as an example. A certain woman came the other time and said that wearing earring and necklace and trousers and weave on was going to take people to hell. You heard all of that, right? Now, it wasn't the message that, it didn't shake me. It was comedy to me. So she said she went to hell and came back. Now, look at the part that got me. That was talking about teaching. You see people that have been in church for the past 15, 20, 25 years. They suddenly began to remove whatever. So, did they ever believe anything? Who's getting what I'm talking about at all? Did they ever have any conviction? I'm not here to discuss what she said is true or false. She's just talking. The other one came to apologize. It's on YouTube. Go and check it. She apologized to everybody that she did not really die. She did not go anywhere. She did not say anything. That she just forged those things in her head. And she cashed out with the first one she said. She cashed out. Because the tape sold like Wi-Fi. Even my mom bought it. No, she didn't buy it. She listened to it. I came back. I said, look, discard that thing. You see, so did they ever have any conviction? It exposed to me the weakness. There is nobody that can be in this platform of grace in Ugu now, platform of grace, and has been here for like 2 years, and you now come and say you died and you saw the person in hell and the person is fidgeting. He's your pastor. Me don't want to be seen in hell. You know, when they see you in hell, your ministry has started. They don't see small people, upcoming people in hell. But you know it's true now. All those pastors you're related, it's when you become big. Then I say, we saw him in hell. You started. What do you believe? How to establish yourself is by teaching. So you see, when Jesus died, these guys who stand before persecution, they want to cut off their head, they present their head. That's conviction. It's not miracles that produce that kind of thing. You get the point? It's not sharing food. It is God's word. He has taught them. He will keep these guys all night. He will keep them all day. You think nothing is happening. Something is happening to them. Conviction is forming. They are becoming stronger. So I'm going to challenge you to give yourself to God's word. Give yourself to God's word, listening to it. And then, you know, a few more things. But there are 2 points I didn't want to make today. You know, I want to say that the end point of committing to the word and listening to the word is to preach and to teach it. So you must listen to God's word to the point that you are able to preach it and you are able to teach it. You know, in 2 Timothy, okay, chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said, and the things which thou hast heard. That's why you see, I need some people to come. One of the persons, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. This way. I need some more people. We're going to just stand when I call you. He says, the things, so come. This is me. I am Paul. I want to show you how God's word should be. So, this is God's word. The gospel of our salvation preached by Pastor Henry. Right? So, I'm writing to Norma. I said, the things which thou hast heard of me. So, you receive this. Come here. It says, the same commits to faithful men. So, Norma will hand over the same to Amara. One more person. Okay. So, this way. So, Norma hands over to Amara. Who shall be able to teach others the same thing? So, you see, stand there. This is about 4 generations now. Did you get the point? 4 generations of passing and handing over the same thing. That's how teaching is. So, the purpose for teaching Norma is so that she can be able to pass on what I'm teaching her to Amarachi. And so, the purpose why she's teaching Amara is not just so that Amara will know it and adjust and say, glory! So that Amara can pass it on to Nelo. Please get on thing. So, the purpose of listening to God's word is not just to know it, but to know it and be able to pass it on. Are you following me? So God's word should not just be learned, it should not just be studied, it should not just be meditated on, it should also be passed on. So the things that thou hast heard of me, the same pass over to Amara, pass over to Nelo, and if you continue this line till 1,000 persons, they should keep passing this same stuff. This same stuff. They should not add to it. They should not remove from it. This same stuff. Are you still here? God bless you. Are you still here? If you find Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. So the purpose of teaching and committing to God's word is so that you'll be able to teach it too. He said, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. So the writer of people was angry with these guys. He said that by now, you should not just be hearing. By now you should be teaching. But now you still need people to teach you these first principles. So what the writer of people is saying is that there comes a time when we now expect you to start teaching. But the problem with many of us is that even at that time when we are not supposed to be teachers, we are still there doing, I receive. I receive. I receive. That's all. A believer must master both how to receive God's word and how to give it. Must master both. Say amen. Say amen. A believer must master both how to receive God's word and how to give it. It's not just about receiving it. He must also master how to give it. And can I say this to you? This word of God that we must give to the world is the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world. See, friends, evil will keep on increasing in the world. The only hope the world has is the word. That's the only hope. And so if we hoard God's word, we are hoarding the hope of the world. Let's say it again. If we hoard the word of God, we are hoarding the hope of the world. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus was talking about his word. He said, the time is coming and now is the time. I like that. He said, time is coming. Now is the time when the dead shall hear. Hallelujah. That's verse 25. But then verse 24 said, very, very nice unto you. He that heareth my word and believeth. Watch. I'm going to verse 25, but let's start from 24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has what? So what gives everlasting life? The word. You see, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Now verse 25. He said, very, very nice unto you. The hour is coming. Now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So if the dead does not hear God's word, they cannot live. The hope of the world is the word of God. And if we hoard the word of God from the world, we are hoarding their hope. He said, that's why I'm going to challenge you as we close the service today. That even as I've challenged you, surely to give yourself to listen to God's word, you should be able to listen to a point that you'll be able to give. You understand me? Don't be a pond. You know a pond? You know a pond? It just takes in water. You know, one of the cleanest water there is sort of water is spring, right? Okay. But that's one that flows, stream, is also clean, though. Not because it's clean in itself, but because it's flowing. You understand the point? It's on the move. See, I used to joke with my friends when I was growing up. I thought that when you hear God's word and you don't preach it, you're like a man that's eating and you don't go to the toilet. God taught me something many years ago. When I mean many years, I mean the first year of my Christian walk, 2006. He was teaching me with a pipe. He said, have you heard me say before? You must be a pipe with two open ends. One end directly connected to God. The other end directly connected to the world. There must be no hindrance. That as God is blessing you, you are being a blessing to others too. Don't short one end. Some people have one end short. Some of them, the short end that is short is the one connected to God. So they want to do ministry, but are not learning from God. So these are people that want to be teachers, but are not students. So you must be a student of the word and a teacher of the word. Who's getting me at all? Have you seen people, they don't listen to message, they don't pray, they don't study, they don't do anything, but they want to be teaching people. So one end is connected to the world, none is connected to God. The other sort of people, which is where many people fall into, the end connected to God is open. They're always in church receiving, they're always listening, but the other end is short. The world is not getting blessed, but are getting blessed. The both ends must be open, such that the same thing which thou hast heard of me, you begin to pass it on. That's the hope of the world. He said, the time is coming that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and all that hear shall live. So the hope of this world is God's word. And so don't hold it. You don't hold it. The hope of this world is not what many people think it is. The hope of this world is not philanthropy. Philanthropy is not the hope of the world. I want to say that again. As important as that is, it doesn't deal with darkness in the hearts of men. It doesn't deal with wickedness in the heart of men. It doesn't. I get the point. Charity doesn't deal with wickedness in the heart of men. The only thing that can is God's word. It's only by God's word that man that was once dead can live. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it explains to us how salvation happens. Thank you, Father. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, he said, but what said it? The word, this word we're talking about since morning, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which you preach. You see, God's word must be in these two places, your heart and your mouth. Hallelujah. You should remember, I've been talking about, let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly. We've looked at that in this series, right? And I'm now saying, it should not just fill your heart, it should also fill your mouth. Now, continue. Word of faith which you preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what did he say? Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made. Go to verse 14. Go to verse 14. Look closely. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? In verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So how do men get saved? By calling upon the name of the Lord. But that calling upon the name of the Lord is not automatic. See the process. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So the first step, the step is actually believing. Right? But see, something must happen before believing happen. How shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? So there must be hearing and then believing. And then they call upon the Lord. Actually, that believing is calling upon the Lord. Now, how shall they hear without? So do you see the process? A preacher preaches. The world hears. So if the preacher does not preach, there can be no end, there can be no salvation. Who is following me? Look at verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel and all that. And so we find out how salvation happens is by a preacher preaching. In fact, let me even say this. You find out, he said, how can they believe except they hear? So there can be no believing without hearing. What it means is that even if your lifestyle is perfect, nobody can be changed by looking at your lifestyle. You see, this is one thing that people mean well, but they say nonsense. You say, let your lifestyle preach the gospel. No. Nobody's lifestyle preaches the gospel. You understand me? It is only by preaching the gospel that it is preached. By lifestyle. Your long skirts can't preach the gospel. Now, what is the place of lifestyle in evangelism? Lifestyle, your lifestyle can give people, will make people want to listen to you. It's possible. You get the point? They might see your life and say, wow, I'm challenged. So people can be challenged by your lifestyle, but they are only changed by the word that you preach. You understand me? People can be challenged by how you live your life, which is a good thing. But they are only changed by the word. Anybody that looks at you and says, I'm going to change, is that change is not from inside, it's from outside. So he just sees how you address and say, I'm just going to start dressing like you. That's not salvation. I get the point. He sees how you are not stealing. He says, I will not steal again. No. After looking at you, I say, I will not steal again. That's still not salvation. You know, someone stops stealing, stops fornicating, stops womanizing, stops drinking, but has not heard the gospel. The person is not saved. You know, right? It is hearing the gospel and believing it that changes the man. So as important as lifestyle is, man must open his mouth. The hope of this world is not lifestyle. So when the Bible says that we are the light of the world, how we are light is not just to stand and say, I'm shining. How we shine the gospel is by preaching it. Who's following me at all? That's how we shine. You don't shine in your locality. You don't shine in your hostel. You don't shine in your place of work. By just living your life, say, all I know is I'm just a Christian. How you shine in your place of work is by preaching the gospel to them. So as you open your mouth and you begin to talk, people are changing. The only hope of the world is the word of God. The only hope of the world. So look at verse 17. Verse 17, the popular faith cometh by hearing. And hearing. So how is a man changed? A man is changed when he has faith in Jesus. Right? What delivers that faith to him? Hearing. Did you understand it? So when I'm preaching to a sinner and I say, Jesus died for your sin, where will the person get the faith with which to believe? The words I'm saying. The words I'm saying are the things that will impart the faith to him. So you did get the point? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God on salvation. So that thing I'm saying, as I'm saying it, faith is entering the person. Faith is being released. You follow to this point? And so the only way the world can be changed is by the word of God. This service to challenge you to preach God's word. Hallelujah. And we should be able to do this at all times. You know, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. And so the purpose of empowerment is to preach God's word. You see, any impartation that you receive, the reason God empowers you is so that you can bless the world with God's word. So the reason why we come to church is not just to be filled with God's word. It's to be filled with God's word to the end that will release that word to the world. Do you understand the point? To the end that we bless people with God's word. Again, I am going to challenge you that by now, you ought to be teachers. By now, you ought to be blessing somebody with God's word. By now. Are you getting me? That's the reason for all these long teachings pastor is doing in church. Amen. By now, you should be seeking avenues and ways to take the word of God out there to someone. By now. That's why you still say, evangelism, it's not because we just want to stress you. If I let people say this to you, we want our church to grow. But that's not actually the major reason why we go for evangelism. No. Amen. for the major reason. We want, because we expect that as you are learning God's word, you should be able to teach it. In fact, generally in life, the proof that you know something, that you are teaching it, is that not true? That's true. I can't claim to know master. I can't teach anybody math. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the proof that you know it. So the purpose of empowerment, you see the Bible would say, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what did he say? He's a new creature. He said, all things have passed away. Behold, how many things? All things have become new. Verse 18, he said, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and given us what? So Jesus did not just give us reconciliation. He gave us a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, he gave us something and entrusted us with the responsibility of imparting that thing. Look at verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing what? The trespasses unto them, and committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the day you got born again, God gave you an assignment, he gave you a word. And that word can change the world. Are you getting me? That word is the hope of the world. That word is the hope of your workplace. You work in a place where there is a lot of bribery, a lot of things are going wrong. It's not difficult to change that place. Begin to preach God's word to them. Let God's word begin to live and grow in their heart. It becomes easy for the whole place to change. I don't understand how some of you work in some places and you don't ever preach God's word to them. It's very funny. You don't ever say Jesus loves you. You are trying to hide your identity. Amen. If you don't preach, there is no hope. You are in a classroom, you don't preach, there is no hope for that class. There is no hope. And you see, if you know the things we save people from, and we preach God's word to them, you will preach to them always. Do you understand me? If you know. You know, I've shared this story a couple of times. About, you know, many, many times. And I share this story because it's one of those dramatic things where people are this close to death. And they encounter God. You know the girl I was telling you about how she went to a native doctor, remember? And the girl, the little girl said she will give her power, he'll give her power to be rich. Long and short of the story is that that night was her last night to live. Last night to live. She was supposed to die the next morning. And then everybody in her family will follow suit. Are you getting me? And then I was just walking, not far from here, Gariki. Late in the night. So I was just walking. I had entered a bus. And the Holy Ghost said, come down from that bus. You won't go with this bus. And I said, Father, don't try this thing this night. It was late. I was going to Aban. Amen. So I was also so sure if I was going to get another bus. He said, come down. I said, Father, if you continue this you are doing and they collect my phone, you will answer for it. And then I came down and I began to walk. I was murmuring. And I saw this young girl. At first, I was disgusted. Totally. Because she was wearing nothing. That's how I saw it. She was naked. And in my mind, I was walking behind her, and I was just murmuring. It's nonsense. Somebody will not dress well and come out. I just murmured. I was angry. Everything was irritating me. I was just hoping to find another bus in front. I found another bus in front. I was empty. He said, Abba, I entered. Abba, I could go a little bit. So I got on the bus. And I just sat. And coincidentally, that same young girl came and sat beside me. I was the first person in the bus, she was the second. And the Holy Ghost said, this is why I brought you here. I just engaged her, good evening. And God just planned everything. See, and next week, suddenly, as I was about to start saying, I want to tell you something. She looked at me, at first she acted like I wanted to check her. I said, hey, my mother says, if you know what's going on in my mind. And then she said, I know you. You were in my community once certain time. I said, oh, thank God. God has helped us. At least you know I'm a pastor. And I started talking. I started crying right in the bus. And I now saw why that bus took time to get filled. She was telling me her story. And right there in the bus, I got her saved. Right there in the bus, I got her filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Right there in the bus, I rebuked that devil that was tormenting her. You see, and I said, she said, so what am I now going to do? I said, go home, you will not die. Call me tomorrow evening and tell me that you are alive. Because they gave her a deadline when she was going to die. In this situation, she called me and said, Pastor, my life. I said, you will always be. If we know what we save people from, when we take God's word to them, we will never hesitate to do it. Never. I've seen this kind of stories over and over again. The Lord will minister to, you know, one of our centers, one of very big testimony from there. The guy was a called guy. At that point, they were already pursuing him to kill him. Hallelujah. And then he got saved. The other time, just here in this Enugu in church, one evening, or just on the service like this, and somebody walked in casually. Some of our ministers know this story. The guy was, he had gone to do whatever, jazz or, you know, and then they've taken him to somewhere, and he couldn't keep up with what they were saying. And by the time he came to me, he was mad. When I mean mad, because he has run mad. Wait, I'm not joking, not like figure of speech. They were dealing with him. They said, if you don't come and fulfill what we say we should fulfill, bring so-so person, we will deal with you. It's not a Nigerian film. So he will go mad for like 2 months or so and regain himself. I get the point. And so he came to church. And right there, he just came, I was just sitting, because he spoke, I led him to Christ right there. He said he got home. And those things, because how they come, they will appear in his room. I began to talk to him. And for the first time, he said he didn't even pray. He just felt one force from nowhere. Drive those guys from his room. What happens when we get saved is too much that we don't even know. This is a guy that has gone to even one prayer mat. At the time, he went to one place they call prayer mat. He stayed there for like 2 months so that they will not be terrorizing him. They will come. He said they were calling him on phone. He will break his SIM card. Nothing good comes from the devil. He will break his SIM card, start using another SIM card, buy a new SIM card. Immediately he puts on the SIM card, those people will call him on phone immediately and say, yes, it is we. We have your number. By the time he met me, he was looking wasted. I said, who invited? He said, nobody. I was just passing and I heard people singing. And I said, let me walk in. I get the point. Jesus helps people. If you know how much the word of God in your mouth can do to people, you will hurry up to preach it. Amen. That is the hope. You know, some people you see that are packaged, just living normal. People are suffering, no? Do you understand the point? I've been talking about you launching a campaign against drug addiction this year and all that. If you know how much that thing is taking people down, and Jesus only can help people. Have you not met, you say, no, we have to teach them the dangers. It's not true. Have you not met people that are doctors that know the dangers? They will educate you on the dangers of drug addiction. You get the point? Some of them will tell you, as I'm talking to you now, my liver is gone. But I'll still be smoking. The other one said, I'm sure this thing is what to kill me. Jesus is the answer. God's word in your lips is the answer to the world. And so you don't keep short. You share it. When you look around your class, don't think everybody's fine. Have you tried to preach to someone that looked very proper and okay to you? And when the person begins to talk to you about what is bothering him, you are like, I didn't get the point. Only God's word can change people. And so I'm going to challenge you not to hoard it. Amen? Amen. Don't hoard it. We are the only ones that can do this. We are the hope. We are the only ones qualified for this. And as we begin to wind down, I would like you to know a few things. Number one, this is a command. It's not an instruction, it's a command. God did not instruct us, he did not advise us to preach, he commanded us to preach. Matthew 28 verse 20, he said, all authority on earth has been given unto me. He said, verse 19, he said, go ye therefore, it's a command. Go! He didn't say, well, if you want to go, you should go. He didn't say, I encourage you. God is not encouraging us to go. He's commanding us. So a refusal to do it is disobeying God's command. He's disobeying God's command. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15. He said, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose for them. So he died so that from today you should stop living for yourself. You should begin to live for the person that died for you. In 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16, Paul will place a curse upon himself. Hallelujah. He will curse himself if he doesn't preach. He says, that though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe unto me. So not, God, we're not begging you to preach. God is commanding you to preach. That necessity is laid on you to preach the gospel. Are you getting me? Necessity is laid on you. It's not like, well, if you have time, preach. It's not like the day you're not busy, preach. It's not like the day you are free. Preach the gospel. In season and out of season. Are you getting the point? 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 will tell us to preach in season and out of season. The way the Amplified will put it, you say, preach. No, that was good news. Good news said, preach whether the time is right or not. Whether it is right or not. Hallelujah. Look at it. To preach the message, to insist upon proclaiming it, whether the time is right or not. To convince, to repose every time. So at every season, you must preach God's word. We are doing spiritual ministry this year. Amen. But beyond this year being our year of spiritual ministry, this is your life and your life. I need to see people on the pulpit preaching. I want to see people in the banking sector preaching. I want to see people that will have so much money, but then they are so committed to preaching the gospel like they don't have it. I want to see people that, you see, the preaching of the gospel is all our responsibility. Such that you say to the Lord, the bigger and the higher you take me in life, the more I am committed to this thing. I can never become too big to step out. You must be able to talk to the Lord like that. Are you getting me? That the bigger you get me, make me, the stronger I become, the more I will preach God's word. The more I will preach God's word. That Lord, as you give me more and more influence, that influence will become a platform for me to preach God's word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in case you don't know, that every power in heaven and on earth is working against the word of God being heard. How many of you know this? Everything you think in heaven and on earth. Everything. The footballer won a competition. The guy did not preach. Won a competition, and then, as they were celebrating, he put a bangle around his head. He wrote a bangle, 100% Jesus. They fined him. And almost banned him from playing football. You understand? There is an attack on the gospel that you are not seeing. You say, why is there an attack like that? Satan knows more than you know. That's the only hope. Are you getting the point? So we enact the gospel. We'll preach it. So when you go and preach and people, you know, glory to God. You know, when I was in school, I was invited to talk in our orientation. I was in final year, so first I was having orientation, so I was invited to talk there. Many people were invited to talk. They were delivering speech, seminar. So they invited me to talk against cultism. As I got up the stage, and I began to talk against cultism, I began to preach the word of God. And people became uncomfortable. A certain lecturer wrote and told the organizer, stop him now. Are you getting me? Stop him now. And when they wrote me a note, because initially they planned that I was going to, they told me I have 45 minutes or something like that. I've not spoken for like 10 minutes. They said, stop him now. And I said, well, they just said, my time is up. So I'm just going to take 3 more minutes. They wrote a note, stop now. Glory to God. Stop now. Every other comedian was talking, it was fine. But you know, my mouth, my voice is convincing. If I preach to you, you must repent. So the thing was coming with so much force. He said, stop him now. One of our members was even there that day. Stop him now, like right now. Somebody wrote, stop now. I say, I thought the third little school came. Stop immediately, like come down right now from the stage before I come and take the mic from you. Amen? Why? Why are you preaching? The attack on the world is because that's the only hope. When you hear things like, we don't permit religion here, forget what I'm saying is that they don't permit Christianity. We have to call it religion. Haven't you found that anybody that tells you is an atheist is not actually fighting the existence of God, is fighting Christianity particularly? Haven't you found an atheist fighting Islam with all his energy, fighting Buddhism? It is Christianity. That's what Satan is against. Because this gospel is the hope. But we won't keep short. So I'm going to challenge you guys to preach God's word. Necessity is on us to preach it. And furthermore, I'd like you to know that preaching God's word I'm talking about today is not just to unbelievers. We're going to extend it to preaching to believers. I know a lot of people are saved, But a lot of people are still confused about the truth. You know, right? Now we're going to extend, you take it upon yourself also. If you have friends around you, you know these people love God genuinely, but they don't really understand the truth of the gospel. You should begin to explain things to them. Amen? You should begin to explain things to them. And I can show you that 2 Peter chapter 24 verse, chapter 2 rather, verse 24. 2 Peter 2 verse 24. Put it up on the screen. Hallelujah. Let's read together, everybody. 2 Peter 2 verse 24. Let's read together. He said the servant of the Lord must not what? He must never strive. But he must be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach. Okay, continue. Okay. So in meekness he must instruct those that oppose themselves. So you must calm down and teach people. For instance, you find a certain man called, you know Apollos, right? Apollos was a preacher that was just preaching. But the Bible said all he knew was the baptism of John. So one day he met Aquila and Priscilla, and they took him in, and they expounded unto him more perfectly the word of the Lord. I get the point. So there is a place for that. So you find people who really are not very established in their walk with God, but they love God. You can explain the gospel to them. I get the point. To the end, not to show them that you know, but to help them. We explain gospel so that they can understand it perfectly. So we have a responsibility both to the world and then even to our brethren who already saved, but they lack the knowledge of the truth. So you can help them. So the plan is to start learning the word and to end up teaching it. And I can tell you, when the Bible says to you as a Christian, let no man despise your youth. How not to let a man despise you is not to say, I'm strong. You cannot intimidate me. You see, how not to let a man despise you in ministry is by preaching. By teaching God's word accurately. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 11. By teaching God's word accurately, that's the only way. That's the only way. It's not by fighting. It's not by saying you cannot intimidate me. Hallelujah. He said, these things do what? Command and teach. Now verse 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers. In what? In word, in conversation. So it starts from how you teach and carry out the gospel. You get the point? That's how people will not despise you. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. So that's how to avoid people despising you. So learn God's word for yourself. Study it. Get it into you. As you're learning it, be sharing it. Let us bless the world. I must do this at all times. I say one last thing and we'll pray. Someone is asking me, how can I start teaching the gospel where I don't even know much of it? Okay? It's not what somebody knows that he will teach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm going to answer you. Acts 26 verse 16. It's not what somebody knows that he will teach. So how can I begin to teach what I don't know? This was the story of when Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. So Paul was narrating the story. So Jesus told him, rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of what? These things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So there are two things Paul will teach. He will teach the things he knows now and the things he will know later. Are you following me? So start with what you know. Are you following me? Start with what you know. Start with what God has shown you now. Start with what the teaching pastor has done in church that you understand perfectly. Meet a fellow believer. Explain to them. That guy on the street, as simple as Jesus loves and he paid for sin, explain to that believer. Start with a little, because you actually think it's little. They used to share a story with us when we were growing up about a little girl that came into a supermarket to preach to a man. Some of you have heard this story. And told the man was like, get out, I don't want to listen to you. He told the man, sir, Jesus loves you. The man said, will you get out? What do you know? And then she tried to talk, they pursued, she left. The man said immediately he got throughout that night, it looked like it was an attack. Every night you wake up, you'll be hearing, "Sir, Jesus loves you. Sir, Jesus loves you. He died for you." You can imagine a small girl. He died for you on the cross to pay for all your sins. And say they kept hearing that. He said, for 1 week, for 2 weeks, he started looking for a church. I met the pastor and said, "Explain to me about this love of Jesus more properly. I've been hearing it in my heart." A young girl said that to me. I've not forgotten it. Our outreaches are not in vain. The little we think we know that's not blessing anybody, that small is enough. I've taught you this before. Using light. If we put off all this light, everywhere is dark. That's how the unbeliever is. The unbeliever is darkness. You know, right? Bible says, we are sometimes darkness. An unbeliever is darkness. When the place is fully dark, if you just introduce one small light, no matter how small it is, you must see. Because everywhere is dark. No matter how small you think your knowledge is, share with someone. This living word that has changed you, that is changing you, that you are feeding on, should also be a blessing to others. And it will be a blessing to them in your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I love the word of God. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Let's make a call together. Let's close. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16. Let's make that commitment together. You're going to announce it. It's something you hear every day if you listen to our teaching every day. Hallelujah. He said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Have a commitment. That must be you. You must have that commitment in your heart to preach the gospel. Amen. When it talks about necessity being laid on you, it means there is a burden. It's like I'm carrying a burden on my shoulder that will not just fall off until I begin to preach the gospel to someone. Are you getting the point? Put up another translation. Let's close with this verse. In another translation. If I proclaim the message, it's not to get something out of it for myself. I'm compelled to do it and doomed if I don't. Hallelujah. I'm doomed if I don't. NLT said, "I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news." So we must give ourselves to it. Hallelujah. This gospel must be preached. Amen. And we start from our environment. I want you to, I'll do this again and again this year. I will challenge you again and again to make a commitment that as it is changing you, you share it with others. You must be a pipe with two open ends. We have outreaches every Saturday. You must be available. Aside that Saturday, every other time in your office, your workplace, you must be available. That as you are getting blessed, I've taught a lot in this series. You are hearing God's word. You are meditating. You are rejoicing over it. You are confessing it. You are reading it. You are living by it. You are also releasing it to be a blessing to others. That's the complete package. So that the same things you are hearing of me, you'll be able to commit to faithful men who will teach others. Say, "Miss, I have a commitment." Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Announce it to preach the gospel. Say, "This is my life." Say, "This is my life. I will preach the gospel everywhere I am found. I'll preach it in my school. I'll preach it in my workplace. I'll preach to my family. My children will hear God's word from me. My friends will hear God's word from me. My parents, they will hear God's word from me. Everyone around me will hear God's word." Hallelujah. Such that if anybody around you goes to hell, he wouldn't say, "I'm in hell today because you didn't tell me." It will only be, "I'm in hell today because I refuse to listen to what you've been telling me." You hear what I said? So nobody will go to hell and say, "Ah, why didn't you tell me?" When they are in hell, they will say, "Ah, I wish I listened to you." The Bible tells us that when Noah was building the ark, he was preaching for 120 years. Preaching to them every day. So when all of them drowned in the flood,
Nobody entered the flood because they didn't hear. It was because they refused to hear. But you see, much more than what Noah has is what we have. One that when we preach, the Holy Ghost gets into men and begins to convict them. There are people in the spirit I see. They are like Nineveh. Yeah. Thank you, Father. They are like Nineveh. They've been condemned to perish in a couple of days. And Lord is sending a Jonah. You know, it was just one message that Jonah preached. Just one. That saved the entire Nineveh. An entire country. There are people that always stand on the road. They are like Nineveh. They've been marked for death. They've been marked. Satan has had his way in their life. It's not God's plan. So God will send you. So you don't turn back and turn down the word of God. There are many Ninevehs on the road. Doomed to die. Condemned to die in 3 days. Condemned to waste in 1 week. Condemned to waste in 2 weeks. We must preach God's word to them. We are the answer. He will not just save them from spiritual death. He will not save them from physical death. Imagine if Jonah did not finally get to Nineveh. The whole country will be wiped away. Whereas one man had the solution to all their problems. Hallelujah. Something I've noticed. I don't know why God is still pushing me now. I've noticed that there are people that don't ever change until certain people preach to them. I don't know why it is so. Or maybe I do, but not for today. There are people that don't ever change. There are people that everybody will be inviting to church. They will never come. But if somebody walks up to them and for whatever reason, say they're in love with the person, say they're attracted to, whatever you say. But they suddenly begin to listen. I don't get the point. They begin to listen. Some of you will even know that the things I'm making you do today in the ministry, some other pastors have tried to make you do these same things, but you refused. Are you getting me? Well, look at me now. I'm making you do that. That's not because I'm more powerful than anybody. I was sent to you. And there are people you are sent to. Are you following me, guys? There are people, and when you hit the street, once that drive, that push comes, as it should always come, begin to share with someone. Some of them are Ninevehs, about to be destroyed in 3-4 days, that only the word from your mouth can keep them safe. And we will not keep short. Amen? I began to preach in my SS2. I don't know who that is, but I don't know why I even said that. My SS2. SS2. Senior secondary school too. Now, because of evangelism, I grew up in a Christian home, so going to preach was a normal thing. But as in actively doing ministry, preaching people, SS2. It was so much in my heart that I would even write tracts and sneak it into people's locker. People I know that they will not listen to me. I get the point. I began to SS2, began to hit the street. You see, you must realize that you are not too small, neither are you too big. You are just okay. And you have the answer. So I have the answer. So what is the answer you have? What is the answer you have? The word of God, the gospel is the answer that you have. So we can change this whole world with it. Hallelujah. We can change this whole world with it. And I can say this to you. You are qualified for it. And you can change the world. Amen. Take 2 minutes and pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me just give you time. Just 2 minutes. I want to hear you. It shouldn't be your first time of listening to a teaching like this, but this should make the difference. That you begin to look for who to help with the gospel. And not just being led by impulse. I mean, being excited and I just said it. But then it becomes your lifestyle over time. You gave me your word. You gave me your word. And it's burning
inside of my heart.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
With faith in my heart.
With faith in my heart.
Wherever you lead me.
Wherever you lead me.
Give me your word.
You gave me your word.
And it's burning inside of my heart.
And it's burning inside of my heart.
Ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
With faith in my heart.
With faith in my heart.
Wherever you lead me.
Wherever you lead.
I live for you.
Jesus.
I shout your fame. I preach your name,
Jesus.
Say I'm totally committed to you.
I'm totally committed.
Maybe one more time, everybody. Say I live for you,
Jesus.
Say I shout your praise,
Jesus.
Say I'm totally committed to you.
I'm totally committed to you.
One last time. Say I live for you,
Jesus.
Say I preach your name,
Jesus.
Say I shout your faith,
Jesus.
Say, I live for you,
Jesus.
Say, I preach your faith,
Jesus.
Say, I will shout your faith,
Jesus.
Totally committed to you.
I'm totally committed to you.
Father, this is our assignment. And this is our commitment. And we'll live up to it all the days of our lives. And I know you will help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me say this word. Say the word of God is sharp in my mouth. Say it again. Say the word of God is sharp in my mouth. Say it again. Say the word of God is sharp in my mouth. When I preach God's word, you can't resist it. No man can resist it. Hallelujah. Learn to make this conversation. Before you come out on Saturday, you pace around your room. Say, as I talk to you, you can't say no to me. God's word is sharp in my mouth. God's word is sharp in my mouth. What it simply means in Bible terms is, I have utterance. That's what it means. I know what to say. I know when to say it. I know how to say it. That's utterance. Hallelujah. And your words will cause strong, strong revelation in people. In Jesus' name we pray. So quickly, let's package our offering. Were you blessed this evening? Where are you blessed? Okay, how do you receive God's word? So,
for more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.